Hi, I am Anna, and this is the Flex Podcast. Again, I'm in the studio, so it might be a bit echoey, but I shall try. I'm facing the wall. I don't think it's making any difference, though, but we'll see. Today, we're talking about kind of accepting where you are in your journey, but still being able to strive forward to see what you might potentially be capable of later down the line. And what I mean by this is where sometimes people can come in and they say to me things like, yeah, I just can't do press-ups. I just can't, whatever I do, I just can't do them. But what they actually mean is they can't do a full body press-up yet, but they can do a version of a press-up. So we might have three-quarter ones with the knees down, we might be able to do incline ones with our hands on the wall or on the windowsill, something like that. However, if you don't do any version of a press-up at all ever, you're never going to be able to do a full body press up, just full stop. It's just not going to happen. You cannot be a professional tennis player without ever picking up a racket. We have to do press ups in order to learn and become strong enough to do a full body press up. So what this person could do, instead of saying, oh yeah, I just can't do them, so just not doing them at all, is to start doing a combination or some sets of doing incline ones with their hands on, say, a decent heighted windowsill or the back of the sofa. So then they're getting that full body aspect where you're having to hold a plank and move your whole body down, up and down. And then they could do some sets, and maybe in a different workout where they do three-quarter ones, which is when your knees are on the floor. The same teaching points apply in the hand positioning and the way that your elbows move diagonally backwards, all that kind of stuff that if you're on my Flex program, you know, and you're finding out about already. But the general technique is the same, regardless of the level of where we're doing it. So then we are able to make it more and more difficult until we are able to get our first full body press up. Then we try and get two, then we try and get three, and so on and so on. If we never practice them and we never do them, we are not going to get better at them, full stop. That's not going to happen. So we have to get comfortable with being a beginner at something. And that, when you're an adult, can feel so tricky, because everything you do, you're good at. So you probably have hobbies that you're good at, that you've done your whole life. You're good at everything involving your actual life to keep you alive. For example, you're good at your job, you can feed yourself, your house probably, you know, looks quite nice, you know, you can do everything. You don't need to ask for help for someone to come and make you dinner, probably, or to do this and that. The only time that you really do is when you probably pay someone to come in and do work around the house, or a task that you can't do, but that you see very differently, because you're not expecting yourself to do it. Then when people come to do exercise, they're like, well, everyone else can do it, why can't I? Or I used to be able to do this, or this doesn't look that easy, they are making it look easy, therefore why can't I do it? And it is literally, for most people, just a case of doing it for longer so that you get better at it. You can't compare yourself when you're on a beginner's fitness journey, you're just starting, to people who have been training like 10, 15 years, because they obviously know all the names of the exercises. They've been doing it a long time. Yes, their form is better. Yes, they're probably stronger. But that isn't because you're never going to be that strong. It's simply because they've put more reps in, literally. They've got years ahead of you in terms of training. When you've been doing it a longer amount of time and you've put the reps in, you will be stronger than people who are starting. And it's really important to have that in our head and to start to fall in love with the journey. Now, this always is one of those things that sounds wanky, like, oh yes, you must fall in love with the journey. But you must, because it is true. If we're only ever looking at the end goal, then it can be really difficult to stay motivated when we're doing something. So for example, if a client might say to me, I want to do a full pull-up, so when you pull your whole weight up on a bar. Now this person can do a 27 kilo pull down on a machine. They weigh 70 kilos, so somewhere in the middle, we have to get strong enough to be able to do a one rep max with an extra, 40, 50 kilos on that machine. Now, that takes a lot of time. That doesn't happen overnight. It isn't something that's going to probably happen in 2 weeks or 4 weeks or 4 months. That is something that's going to take that person to invest in themselves multiple times a week, every week, to move better and to be able to lift heavier loads and work hard on all of their pulling motions in order to get them into that position where they're going to be able to do a pull-up. Now, if that pull-up to get there takes them 9 to 12 months, maybe longer, how do you think, like, if you think about that, if that was the only goal to do one pull-up, do you think that person would stay motivated for all that 12 months to train several times a week, to keep coming back to the same exercise they can't do and having to do variations of them? Will that person still want to carry on doing it after they've been doing it for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, whatever, and it still hasn't happened? Or if they start to enjoy the journey, start to be able to congratulate themselves for the small wins, which we're going to come on to talk about in a second. We need to start congratulating yourself for those smaller steps and the smaller parts of the journey. And this can go with any goal. So whether it's a movement goal, like a press up or a pull up or a squat or something, or whether you want to attend a certain class or go to a certain workout, or maybe you're on a weight loss journey, we have to break it down into smaller chunks sometimes, because this is, for most people, a fitness journey is a lifetime of that. So we need to start to enjoy it and to see the smaller wins as we go. Also, if we're constantly telling ourselves we can't do something, like, oh, I can't do a press up, I can't do this, oh, it's just not for me, it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because if you constantly tell yourself that you're not able to do something, or you don't have the skill, it's just not for you, or people like me can't do it, or whatever the phrase is you tell yourself, then you make it true, because you're not going to try, because you already believe that it's too difficult for you, or there's no point you bothering, or whatever it is. Actually, if we see a little glimmer in our head of, yes, what might be available to me later down the line, no, I cannot do a full body press up now, but I can learn how to do 3/4 ones, incline ones, I can do a floor press, I can do a bench press, I can do a Smith machine bench press. There's loads of other different exercises that we can use to get stronger through our upper body to be able to do that. But we have to have our minds open to that. For a lot of people, we have to be able to ask for help. So just like if you needed a plumber to come round, you don't expect to know everything about plumbing by osmosis as soon as this person turns up at your house to fix your toilet. You don't just pull in their 25 years of experience and what they're able to then do in 5 minutes and assume that you're going to be able to be the toilet guru after that. What a name, what a job role. I want to be called the toilet guru. Someone, if you are a plumber, you need to take that name right now and roll with it. But you don't expect to get this person's skill because they were in your home. And it is the same with exercise. You cannot get 15, 20 years of someone's knowledge and exercise skill by going one time. You've got to go and learn about it and put the reps in and go. And if you need help with stuff, you have to ask for it. Just because you have a body doesn't necessarily mean that you know exactly what you need to do to get efficient exercise and to make yourself stronger. That is why people have my job. That is why we have a base qualification and then we have to keep educating ourselves and learning more. That's why we learn probably more from doing the job than we do actually from being on the course. It's exactly the same as when you hire a plumber or a roofer or whoever else you have to come into your home to do stuff. You don't just suddenly, it's a whole job. You don't expect that person's knowledge just to transcend over you once they've attended your property one time, and it is the same with this. So that's one thing, is not to kind of put like a finite end on what you're going to be capable of, because you can't do it right now. Because I've been doing this, just the job, for 15 years and I've been training for about 25. So you can't expect for it just to come, because you have to work at it and you have to put the reps in. And therefore we have to be able to, from that, know that there are other things that we might be able to achieve from it. Because if we are able to put the reps in and we do carry on, we are going to be capable of so much more, and it opens it up. But if we just have this expectation, oh, well, I can't do it, so I won't, there's no point me bothering, I can't do it right now, and then we close it off, then we have fulfilled exactly what we thought would happen. Whereas if we leave our minds open, we'll be able to do so much more stuff, and then we will be able to do it. This is the thing, the self-fulfilling prophecy is true. If you think you're going to be able to do it, then you will. When, I'm not talking about you running 100 metres in like sub 10 seconds or something. I'm talking about things that for the vast majority of people who are lucky enough to be able to move their body and do cool stuff, then we are. It is possible for us to do a press-up. It is possible for you to do a squat. Whatever it is, we can work at it and we can make that happen. So coming back onto the small wins, when we're talking about resistance training specifically, we refer to something called progressive overload, which is where we can't stay the same, otherwise our muscles don't continue to change. So we're looking to overload our muscles, and the way we do that will change progressively over time. So for example, it might be that you lift heavier, you add in an extra rep. It might be that you do three sets instead of two. For example, if you're doing my flex on the go, so the beginner's one, and when you start, you do two sets of everything, and then you think, do you know what, no, I'm a bit quicker at this now, I'm gonna do three sets. These would all be examples of progressive overload. Putting in the extra rep. So let's say you can do six single leg glute bridges when you first start, and then when you try 2 weeks later, you can add seven. We would then stay at that seven, and we would try to add in eight, and we'd try to do nine, and then 10 maybe, and we would like scale them up a little bit. These are things that we want to do, so we are constantly trying to stimulate the muscle. You can't stay the same. Well, you can if you want to. In resistance training, you can stay exactly the same whenever you want to in life. But with resistance training, if you want to continually to see different results, as in to get stronger or to get more toned, you have to continually challenge the muscle. There's no other way around it. Now these things, if you took that outside of like the resistance training and the sciencey bit, you would look at as a small win that you might not celebrate that much. You might, if it was a press up, doing an extra rep, but you might do 13 glute bridges instead of 12. You think, oh yeah, that was okay, like, but actually that is a small win. And these are things that we need to get better at celebrating, because these are all of the things that are going to move you towards your goal. So we want to keep them in our mind. They might flip over into other parts of life as well. Like, I still went to the gym today, and I wouldn't have done that a year ago when I was tired. I still went. I still went to my class tonight, despite the fact that I had a stressful day. I tried a class that I was unfamiliar with, and I wouldn't have done that a year ago. I still bothered making myself food, like proper nutritious food, rather than a piece of Mama on toast and a bag of Doritos, even though no one else was in. Like, I still bothered and I still showed up for myself. These are all small wins. If you told me, oh yeah, yeah, I made dinner for myself on Wednesday and no one was in, you might think, yeah, that's no big deal. But actually it is a big deal, because it shows that you're showing up for yourself. And if you've done it once, you'll be able to do it again. These are all really important things, important small wins to move you towards your bigger goals. This also kind of ties in nicely to that bit where you're learning how to differentiate between I'm tired but I need to kind of grow up here and go, versus I'm exhausted and it would be better for me to rest today. These are the things, this is a struggle that we often have, especially at the beginning of our journey, because for some personality types, they can be quite of the mindset, yeah, I feel a bit tired so I'm not going to go. I've got a little niggle in my baby toe so I'm not going to go. And they very easily write themselves off, oh, my friend can't come, so I'm not going to go. These can be kind of reasons that people might find not to do something, especially when they're starting. With that mindset, that's something that we kind of want to rejig, because actually you're capable of way more than you think you are. Most people have a niggle. I'm not talking about like a broken toe or when you've screwed your knee up or whatever. I'm talking about a lot of us have niggles that maybe aren't down to an injury, that's just how they are. It tends to feel better when we start moving. So why aren't we moving? Do you know what I mean? We want to try to get that feeling where we're like, actually, I'm not just going to write myself off today because I have a niggle or I'm a bit tired. Then on the flip side, you have other personality types who will push themselves to the point where they make themselves ill, because they're always on the go. They don't get enough sleep. They work really long hours. They say yes to everything for everyone, so they never have any free time or relaxation time. They'll force themselves to go and train even though they are exhausted and tired and coming down with something. So, and we can be both things on different days. This is the thing. We can be both like personal scenarios on different types of day. The exhausted people need to take some time for self-care, have a night off, go to bed early, try to do that more regularly with the sleeping, try to eat better, try to look after themselves more. Sometimes we can be in a bit of a mindset, we're a bit low, we're a bit like down on ourselves, like, oh yeah, I'm just so tired, there's just no point in me bothering, this is rubbish. There's always a point of you bothering unless you're exhausted or poorly. There's always a point in bothering. And if I ever feel like I don't want to go, I say to myself, all you need to do is go in and do two sets of everything in your workout. Once I have started, that never happens. I always do three sets, unless I am exhausted, like the second thing, because I'm that kind of person that rarely takes a day off. So I'll force myself to go even though I feel like a bag of shit. But then I will react to it when I get there. I'll be like, you're only going to do two sets. We're not going for a PB. We're going to scale it back on this one and this one. But we're just going to show up for yourself so you can move your body. Because for me, I do generally feel better if I've moved. Even if I'm knackered, I still feel a bit better after. Obviously, not if I'm poorly or particularly rough, you know. But these are the kind of things that can be really helpful because it lets you get to know yourself on the journey that you're on and at the point that you're at. It's like I said before, some of us can be a little bit easy on ourselves at the beginning and says, oh, well, I won't go. But at the same time, be simultaneously very hard on ourselves for our progress. So it's just kind of recognizing where we might need to put our attention. So our attention might not need to be on, oh, well, I haven't been able to do this yet, I haven't been able to do that. And actually, if we need to put our attention on making ourselves do the workout, making ourselves show up for ourselves with our nutrition. It's okay to be a beginner at something. This is the thing, it's okay to start something brand new. I have people come to my cardio class all the time. Am I going to suggest to them that they come to the hardest class on my in-person timetable, which is Flex Appeal? No, I'm not. I'm not going to suggest to someone who's a complete beginner to come in and start throwing around barbells. We do giant sets and tri-sets and pyramids and lots of complicated lifting protocols. Not actually that complicated, but lots, you know, is more advanced. And is that, would that be appropriate for that person after they've done one of my Zumba classes, for example? Probably not. What I would say was start, keep going, get into a routine, come to some of my easier classes like Core and Calm or Butts and Guts, where you'll start to learn about resistance training, kind of the same level as the on-the-go stuff in Flex. We'll learn about resistance training, we'll get you moving, and then we'll talk about adding in weights or talk about adding equipment later. So you might want to then come to some of my other classes after you've been coming for 3 months, for example, or 2 months. So we can recognise where we are and still strive to move forward. And I think that's really important, is not to write yourself off. Just because you cannot do something now doesn't mean you won't be able to do something in the future. And this is cyclical, by the way, because you will get injured. You can't be injury-free through your whole life. Being fit, healthy, and strong will decrease your risk of injury massively, but you're not the Terminator. Stuff will happen. You will still get injured doing normal stuff. You might fall over when you're shit-faced and crack your knee into the floor. Stuff happens, life happens. We have to be able to say when these things happen, yes, there is a point in me doing my rehab. Yes, there is a point in me trying to get back to where I was. Yes, there is a point in me moving forward. Life isn't just like we just get better and better at it. Stuff come in and sideswipes us all the time. But keeping that mindset about striving to move forward whilst also being able to recognise where we're at and not get frustrated with ourselves and instead think, Joe, I'm going to acknowledge my small wins and use that to motivate myself going forward. If we are overly hard on ourselves, it really does dissuade us from continuing. For a lot of people, if you're like, I'm so shit at this, I don't know why I'm doing it, I am rubbish. Does that make you feel motivated to do it? Or if you say to yourself, do you know what, this doesn't feel natural for me, but I'm really going to work at it. I am better at this than I was last week. And I do remember three of the exercises that she said, so I recognise those now. I turned up on time, even though I didn't really want to, and I've done the whole workout. I did an extra rep of these two exercises. These are all small wins that are going to help to keep you motivated, and we have to be able to acknowledge those to give ourselves that boost and that motivation to keep moving forward. So in essence, around the houses, I think my overall message is don't limit yourself with the way that you speak to yourself. You are capable, and I've said this on podcasts before, of so much more than you think you are. And just because you are 30 or 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 and you have not done this before doesn't mean that you can't start now. It doesn't mean that you won't be good at it. We still have a lot of life left to live, hopefully. And if we can do that feeling strong and healthy, why wouldn't we want to? Start stuff. Be a beginner. Accept that you're a beginner. Still use it as motivation to try hard and to move forward. You can learn to do a full body press up at 70. You can learn to do a full body press up at 60, at 50, at 40, at 30. You are capable of anything that you want to, apart from running a sub 10 second 100 meters sprint. You crack on and try. I am here for the motivational chats about this. You do your sub 10 second sprint. Well, I want video proof that it happened and I want you in the Guinness record, whatever it is. But you know what I mean? We can do really cool stuff. So let's try and let's not tell ourselves that we're shit at things when we don't need to. Let's celebrate the good stuff and move forward where we can. Right, I'm going to stop waffling on. I hope that's been helpful. I wanted this to be a motivational chit-chat. I'll come back to the telling you what to do stuff next time. Have a good week.